such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello, I'm Kendra Von Esch, sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750. And boy, are you all in for a treat. I have with me my very own personal spiritual director, Father Caliente. Welcome, Father.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. So we are going to talk about spiritual direction and how we're going to talk about some tips and tricks, can deepen your relationship with God. So before we get started, let's open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Father, will you start a prayer for us?
All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, help us to love the Father and to give everything out of love for Him, He who has given us everything that we are and everything that we have. In the name of Jesus Christ, be with us today. Open our hearts to receive simply from the love of the Father as His sons and His daughters, for He is pleased whenever we open our hearts to receive every desire that He has for us, every good things, every blessing, and every grace. And so, Father, please open our hearts to receive fully what You desire for us. Be with us today. Empower us with Your most kind Holy Spirit, so that we may be bold witnesses of the gospel, of the good news of Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And in receiving from Your love, Your mercy, and Your healing, be able to be good news ourselves and bring Jesus in the lives of our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. See what I'm telling you, people? We are so blessed today. Oh, so Father, before we get started, I would love it if you would introduce yourself and tell a little bit about how you became a priest to the audience. It's probably better in your words than mine.
All right. I'll try to summarize it in a few, very briefly. As Kendra said, my name is Father Caliente. From the Diocese of Rockford in Illinois, I was ordained in 2015 for the Diocese of Rockford. Was actually educated here in the Archdiocese of Chicago at St. Mary of the Lake University Mundelein Seminary. I was there from 2010 until 2015 when I was ordained at the Cathedral of St. Peter's in Rockford, Illinois by Bishop Malloy, the current Bishop of Rockford. And I've been here in the United States since 2002. My first 8 years here was as a monastic brother. I lived monastic life for 8 years until the Lord was very clear, inviting me back into a parish diocesan life. Before I was a monk for 8 years, I was also in the minor seminary for diocesan life, and then the invitation to monastic life. It was the Lord's invitation for intimacy, I would say, and to form me as a future parish priest, which I am now. And I'm grateful for it all. You know, monastic life seems like something that's so different from parish life. And it is. It is.
Can you explain a little bit about what you were doing as a monk, for
yes.
those who don't know?
So in monastic life, as a lot of you probably heard of the monks and nuns, I was a cloistered monk. So basically what we did was the old dictum of Saint Benedict, ora et labora, prayer and work. So it's a combination of both spiritual exercises and physical exercises. We always say in the monastery, when monk work, we work very hard because you have to realize you have to put balance, right? So if you're doing a lot of prayers, you know, you wake up at 4 a.m. and from that time on until almost 8 p.m., the first 4 hours of your day, you spend them praying, reading, intimacy with God. Lectio Divina, is basically the prayerful reading of the Bible. If your first 4 hours of every day is praying and intellectual work, you need something substantial for your physical work. So as a monk, I took care of the poultry, of the chickens, and collected eggs every day. I was the monastery tailor. Basically, I made the monks' habits. I made liturgical vestments and linens for the church.
Okay, note to self, where I need to come get my stuff hemmed.
Exactly. So to be honest with you, talk about the difference. I still have my sewing machine, and I haven't touched it because right now I'm a parish priest and just totally consumed by parish life, and I love it too. But so that's basically what monastic life is, right? A very substantial amount of spiritual exercises, and with it is physical exercises. It's the balanced life, really. It's the middle life where the Lord is asking us to a blessed life, between work and prayer, between action and contemplation. So that's basically the summary of monastic life. But in the core of it is intimacy and relationship with our Lord, and also one very important aspect of it are what we call the evangelical council, right? It's the three vows of every religious man or woman in the Catholic Church, which are the vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience. And in the midst of living those three vows is community life, learning also how to relate with other people, you know, because in that relationship too, then we give ourselves to our Lord also. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And now you are pastor of St. Rita in
yeah.
Rockford. And that just became official this year, correct?
Exactly. So I became pastor at St. Rita's at the end of April of this year, and I will be installed by the bishop on August 1st of this year.
Okay. So you're also my spiritual director, and
yes.
I'll share with everyone how we met, because I wasn't even sure what a spiritual director did and why I might need one. I just happened to be on the phone with Chris Stefanik from Real Life Catholic. I hope you know who that is.
Right.
He's well known. And he said, you know what, Kendra, you're going to need a spiritual director. And I said, okay, that's great. Thanks. Like 2 months go by and I don't even know how to find a spiritual director or why I would need a spiritual director. So I am in confession and you are on the other side of the screen. And I have gone to confession often. I go probably once a week, if not 10 days, is my max. Mm-hmm. And when I'm there, I always pray for purity of heart, or I confess purity of heart, pride, you know, and everything not being about me and glorifying God. So I was sharing in the confessional that I had just started my new ministry, speaking on the Catholic circuit, and I don't want it to be about me. It's hard when people are like, oh, you're such a great speaker. And, you know, my husband laughs. And he, as you know, Jeff, he says, oh, is your head getting bigger every time someone says that? I said, but that's okay. I have a pin and his name is Jesus.
Yes.
And I just poke my head and it deflates again. So here you are on the other side of the screen and I'm sharing this with you and you say, can I help? And that was when my life changed. I came out of that confessional. You were on your way walking out the door. It was a winter day. You had your hat on. And I said, Father. And you turn around and I say, I'm the one in confession. And you said, oh, come into my office. You pull out this double-sided laminated prayer.
Uh-huh.
You put your hand over my head. And I'm thinking, it's okay. I know you're leaving. I know you have something to do. We can connect later. I just wanted to introduce myself. But you spent, it was probably 5 minutes praying that prayer over me.
Right.
And I remember all I was doing was bawling. I mean, we're talking snots coming out of my nose, tears flushing down my face. The Holy Spirit just grabbed me, and the rest is history. So can you tell people a little bit about, because you're trained in Ignatian spirituality,
right.
What spiritual direction is all about, and right. Who should really need it? Because I think my desire was discernment,
right.
But we also talked quite a bit about how I can deepen my relationship with God through prayer.
Right.
So can you share a little bit about what is spiritual direction and why should someone seek it out?
Sure. So you've already used some of the very important words there. So there are different spiritual direction techniques, but right now the most popular and the most useful in the different spiritualities of the church is for many people is the method of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Saint Ignatius was the founder of the Jesuits, and he wrote rules for discernment. So you mentioned that word discernment. So what he wrote was rules for discernment that were born out of his own experiences. Of his own conversion, and then the deepening of his relationship with God. That's the other operating word that we use a lot, right? The word relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So with Saint Ignatius, was a soldier. He was wounded, and then because he was wounded, he was in isolation for a long time. And he realized that when he was in isolation, he started reading the lives of the saints. And being a soldier, you know, he had all these experiences and he had read books about the life of being a soldier. And then he would read about the lives of the saints. And he would, after reading, he would realize the difference. And from there, he created rules that came from his own experiences of what's coming from God and what's coming from the enemy. And then he realized at the end, you know, everything really is in the service of this relationship with God and this relationship that leads us to communion. So what spiritual direction is and our relationship as you have mentioned, me as the spiritual director and you as the spiritual directee, is we always say the real spiritual director really is the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah.
So the real spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. I'm just, in a way, I'm just a panel of His grace, a funnel of His grace. And as long as your heart is open to His grace, to that relationship, then He leads you to that communion to Him. So if you realize whenever we start sitting down for spiritual direction, I basically say, all right, what's going on in your spiritual life, in your prayer life? And you start talking, and I'm basically quiet there. I'm basically saying, come, Holy Spirit, and everything else comes out.
It's a beautiful experience, that's for sure. All righty, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit deeper about those rules and give people some tips and tricks about how to hear and see the Holy Spirit throughout your day.
All right.
I'm Kendra Von Hesch, sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ.
Dear friends, you may have noticed that our live stream has been down. We're looking under the hood to get that fixed. Now, in the meantime, visit the Winds of Change Facebook page and look at the top post and click on the Vista Stream Guys link to download the Winds Media Player so that you can enjoy Winds of Change on your computer. No matter how you listen, thank you for listening to Winds of Change.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced-level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's 1 block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back. I'm Kendra Von Esch, sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported, don't forget to support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. All right, we are here with Father Caliente, my very own personal spiritual director, talking a little bit about Ignatius spirituality. And I would love you to dive into those 8 different points that we are to be assessing to hear God's voice.
Right. We don't really have a lot of time to dive into those particularly. Huh? We'll be here for days,
right,
if we talk about those. But we'll give some of the points that are very important when we talk about spiritual direction. As when we started, I think we always start with the 3 things that Ignatius always takes us deeper. Right. Number 1 is our identity.
Mm-hmm.
As sons and daughters. I think a lot of times that's one thing that makes us do all kinds of things in life, and we forget, we get all this success in life, and we realize I can do everything. And then what St. Paul says, I can do everything in Christ who strengthens me. The last part is always forgotten, right? I can do everything, right? I'm so successful with my business. I'm getting all this money. I got the car that I want. I built the house that I want. I'm happy. I think I'm doing fine. And we forget the second part. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. It's only our identity in Jesus Christ, who we are through Jesus Christ, that really matters, right? That we are like Jesus, sons and daughters of the Father. And I think that's very, very, very important in our spiritual walk. And when we started in our spiritual direction, I think that's one thing that the...
I think I cried when you said that, because I never really connected that.
Right.
In my prayer life or You know, it really made a difference to me to think about being a daughter of God.
Right. To realize that God is your
loves
father
me.
And he loves you so much. And all his desire for you is that you remain his daughter, right? And he's got a whole kingdom prepared for you. And that's the identity that we receive from our own baptism, right? We become adopted sons and daughters of the Father, and that's who we are. In our deepest identity, despite all the things that we accomplish in life and we abandon that, that's where we're supposed to keep going back, right?
Yep.
We go back there in the embrace of the Father who's always calling us back to him. And then, of course, that identity leads us to relationship, which we've already mentioned earlier. That relationship, that's very important, right? That in the heart of everything we do, it should take us back to a loving relationship as sons, as daughters of the Father. Only in that relationship, nourished constantly by our going back to prayer, right? That is what prayer is all about, to go back to the Father who loves me, mm-hmm. right? Remember when we were children, we always, okay, when we were taught how to pray, we do the sign of the cross and everything that we want is bless mommy, bless daddy. I hope I'll have a nice day today and bless my friends, right? That's okay. And even if today that's your prayers like that, please bless my father, please bless my mom and bless all my friends, that's okay because prayer is nothing else but relationship with the Father who loves us. And this Father is most glorified when we give him all our concerns. Remember, Kendra, you're a mom, right?
Yep.
And you're always happy when the boys comes home and you prepared a nice dinner meal for them. And
am I? No.
And
did
boy,
I give up the dinner cooking to
right.
God while I was doing that? I think
or,
so.
Or cooking for Jeff, right?
Yeah.
Or doing whatever you know you love doing for them.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Because you love them. And when they receive what you give them with so much love, and when they receive it and you see the joy in their face when you give
mm-hmm.
whatever that thing is. Don't you feel happy?
More than
it's
happy.
The same thing with the Father. If we have an open heart to receive what he desires to give you, that's when the Father is most glorified. And that's basically what prayer is, right? A deepened relationship with the Father, right? And then, so you have the identity, then you have the relationship. Only in that identity, our gospel today says, you know, if your foundation is just on yourself and it's not founded on Christ, you're building a foundation on sand, right?
Correct.
And the wind blows and the hurricane comes, your foundation is done. But if your foundation is that deepened relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come what may, right? And life is not always going to be joyful, right?
Correct.
The cross will always be there. But if the relation is there, you have a firm foundation, right? Then in that firm foundation comes the third part, which is the mission, right? All of us are called to a particular vocation, right? I'm called to be a priest. You're called to be married, right? Some others are called to be religious brothers or religious sisters, right? And in that vocation, we are given a particular mission in life. I'm called to be a priest, right? And my mission is to sanctify the people of God, to lead them in worship, to teach them, and to govern my own parish, you know, parish administration. As a priest, I can only be able to be faithful to that mission in my own vocation if I have that identity as a priest, as a son of God, right? And that is deepened in the relationship through prayer, right? For you as a mother, your call to holiness is to be as a mother to your boys and as a wife to your husband, right? Yep. And you can only give, you can only be the best wife and mother if you have that identity first as a beloved daughter of the Father, and that relationship is deepened through prayer, so that when, as you receive from the Father, then you can give to your husband and to your sons.
So I just have to say, my husband Jeff loves you. I remember when you came out to bless our house and we had dinner. He came home late from golf and we were just sitting down. And when you left, he said, "That is the sweetest man I've ever met." Now, I've never heard my husband even say sweet in regards to a woman, let alone a man. And I said, "I know, isn't he incredible?" And when I come home from spiritual direction, I share everything that you and I speak of. And you constantly remind me, don't forget about Jeff. Don't forget that your vocation is a wife. I think he loves hearing that when I come home, like, yeah, don't forget about me.
Yes.
But it is amazing to remember and love to be that wife no matter what. Yes, there are days when I don't want to make dinner, but I will give that up to God and be joyous in that suffering because I could be doing something else, for example. I do like cooking sometimes, but I couldn't agree more. The joy to see the nourishment that I'm giving them, that they like it. I always ask.
You make great salads.
They were big, right?
Yes, they are.
Like a meal for sure. But I also want to say prayer. I want to share with everyone this little story with you and me. I lost it one day. I had this fear showered over me. Someone made a comment like, do we really need another Catholic speaker out there, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I don't think so. And so it gave me this pause. And then I flipped into this, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Who do I think I am to go out there and share the amazing supernatural graces that I received from this Catholic faith, the Holy Trinity, Mary, you know, like, who am I doing this? And I remember coming out of Mass, and it was a beautiful feast day for Our Lady. I barely even paid attention to the daily Mass. I got out into my car, and I started texting you like a lunatic. Father, I'm going through a real tough time. I'm freaking out. I'm having a lot of anxiety, blah, 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 blah. And then I don't hear anything for a minute, and I'd send another text. It's another four paragraphs long, and you respond with one word in capital letters, pray. And I was upset. let's just say, I said, what in the heck is this? He's supposed to be my spiritual director. He should be picking up the phone and talking me off the ledge of despair. I just get this word, pray? Like, I don't get it. What's that all about? And it took me probably 4 hours because I kept doing what you said. Okay, I'm just going to go back and pray. I'm just going to go back and pray. And so it was about a four-hour process where I finally felt that peace.
Right.
I didn't realize that you were teaching me everything rests in God. So I know I'm here for spiritual direction, but in the end, he's the one that you need to go to and to settle your anxieties and your worries.
Right.
So I just have to say that prayer is not negotiable.
Right.
If you want a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, Mary, I mean, all the saints, prayer, 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 prayer.
Right.
And preparation for prayer is even more important, not that, just the prayer itself.
That even speaks to our very own society right now that's, you know, loneliness is such a big part of the problem in our society right now. You have a lot of people who are lonely. And when you say pray, it's almost like, now I'm lonely and this person is telling me to pray, that means I'm going to be alone. No. When you pray, you're inviting the greatest community with you. you're actually entering into communion, right? The very antidote to loneliness, to depression, is prayer. Because when you pray, you're entering into a communion of persons, and a community of persons who can love us the most, who can wrap us with the best loving grace that you could ever imagine, right? And that's the most holy Trinity, the persons of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And what else is better than being a Catholic? We are so aware that when we enter into prayer, the whole mystical body of Christ in heaven, on earth, and in purgatory is in union with us. Right? You can't get at it better than that.
How can you be lonely with that?
Exactly.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk to Father Caliente a little bit about the Holy Spirit, because I think that that's an amazing partner with us all day, every day. I'm Kendra Von Esch, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Save the dates for Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 9th through the 11th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois.
More info at ByzantineCatholic.com.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back. I'm Kendra Von Esch, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ, with my personal spiritual director, Father Caliente. Thanks again for coming, Father.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Okay, so we covered three.
Yes.
Three. And I know we want to talk about the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to jump off of this list. So can you continue on of the other four? Is it eight? Three?
Right,
five?
Right.
No, now you're going to have to go fast.
I'm not even talking about the specific rules yet. These are just the foundations of
Then you better get moving.
Exactly. So I'm sure we won't even get into the particular rules themselves.
Because, high level.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to also to realize that you've mentioned this a lot. A lot of times we're always every moment of our life, we're always in the influence either of a good spirit or a bad spirit. Mm-hmm. There's always that influence in us. The good spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit that we're going to talk about later, and then the bad spirit is the spirit of the enemy, right? We normally call him devil or Satan. The word devil basically means the one that divides us, you know. So we're always in the influence of a good spirit or a bad spirit. And Ignatius developed these two words, consolation and desolation. Consolation meaning those moments where we are in the influence of the good spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, when we feel God's nearness in us in prayer, when there's a particular joy that touches my heart. I just go out into the garden and see the beauty of a summer morning, and all the flowers are beautiful and colorful, and all the trees are green, and there's this spark of the divine love in me just by going out into the garden, or just sitting before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration And feeling the nearness of God, and as if God is smiling at me, or or you with your spouse, you know, you're just sitting there and holding hands, and no one is talking about anything, and it's just a silent room. It was a long day, and you're just sitting there, and you're just holding each other's hand, and you can feel the love of your spouse right there, and it sparks joy and love from God just with that. With that particular scene. So, and of course, there's the other side, right? Where you've been sitting there for, as you said, you've been sitting there for 4 hours and you don't feel like anything. And God feels like he's so far away, mm-hmm. where, in fact, he's always close to us, right? Augustine said, God is closer to me than I am to myself, you know? But there's just that feeling of, I don't feel him. He doesn't love me. I feel like I'm abandoned. And, you know, that's the enemy always lying to us, right? So we have to be aware of those situations as well. And that in every situation, even in the situation when we are tempted to think that God is far away from me, that God has abandoned me, right? That's the enemy whispering his lies.
Mm-hmm.
What we always have to do is to reject those lies and to remain there in fidelity. Fidelity is a very strong word as well for us as Christians, right? That despite my feeling of abandonment, despite my feeling of loneliness, I know that there is a bigger reality that God really is united, totally united with me, and I just have to believe in that. I just have to stay right there in my abandonment, knowing that he's loving me even there. And St. Teresa of Avila always said that when you're not feeling like praying, then pray longer. Stay right there. Stay right there, because God is there, one, alone with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alone with you, and loving you even in our feeling of abandonment. So consolation and desolation, right?
What a prayer warrior St. Teresa of Avila is. Yeah. I started reading and diving into her The Way of Perfection,
yes,
and learned a ton. She's intense.
Right, that's why she's called the mystical doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
She knew in her heart that even in the most difficult moments, God was inviting her. And that's not just true for St. Teresa of Avila. That's true for every single one of us, right? Even in the deepest desolation, or even in the strongest temptation, is the hands of God inviting us closer to him. And to abandon the temptation, to say no to the temptation, is to turn our back to the enemy and face the heart of him who invites us into this wonderful relationship in the service of communion.
So, to everyone, just think of that text. Pray,
yes,
in capital letters, unceasingly.
Yes.
I mean, relentless prayer. It is how we need to live.
Yes.
Okay, continue on.
All right. So, so we have that consolation, right, and desolation. The good spirit and the spirit of the enemy, the bad spirit. Now, a lot of us would say, Father, I feel that, you know, for a few weeks I feel like the Lord is so close to me. And then for several months, I don't have that. Saint Ignatius always says, you know, beware that when you are in consolation, when the influence of the good spirit is in you, just keep banking on that grace, right?
Right?
Take the opportunity. Take the opportunity. And one of the things that Ignatius always recommend also is journaling. Journaling. A lot of us fail on that part.
I struggled with that in the beginning.
Exactly. I'm not a big, you know, I don't write as much. But I recommend, you know, just get a small notebook and don't write everything, and don't write everything every day. You know, just say when you're in the midst of the consolation, I call it planting gardens, planting a garden. Just say, you know, when you have an experience, a small experience, right? It's 6 a.m. and I woke up and I just have that. I go to the chapel and I have that feeling of joy. And just write that sentence. I feel like I'm responding to an invitation, and the grace of God is just filling my heart with joy, and I cannot explain it, but I feel like my heart would explode for love of God. Just write that sentence. Write that sentence, and you've planted something in there, right? So that on the days when you are in desolation, that's the other word that they call desolation is the desert, right?
Right.
When you're in the middle of the desert, your journal is the garden.
Mm-hmm.
You have the garden right in your hands. Just open it.
And then maybe you see a prayer that was answered or something that can give you,
exactly.
Okay, I remember what that day was like.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me, but I typically don't write them down as planted little seeds in a garden. I'm gonna definitely look at it like that.
Exactly.
And keeping something with you all day throughout the day is
right.
The important note, because this happens not just when you specifically, consciously kneel down and pray. It should happen all day long. And the feeling. And it's funny, there's been some women who have come up to me after some of my talks at conferences that have said, okay, it sounds like you haven't been through a little desolation, and they're giving me resources, which is fabulous.
Right.
And I've had my moments, but I haven't had a long time like, oh, I don't know, St. Teresa, Mother Teresa, right? How
right.
long was she in her desolation?
Right. Mother Teresa's experience really was not just desolation. Her experience
dark night is of the soul.
What we call the dark night of the soul.
Right.
And you have we often use that word lightly. We have to realize first and foremost, people who are in the dark night of the soul, as Saint John of the Cross have also has put that phrase together. This is for advanced people in. Who are advanced in their spiritual life, right?
Right.
She was there for more than two decades. But spiritual desolation is basically those, it's always from the enemy,
right?
Trying to lie. That's why the beauty of the journal is when the enemy lies, he makes you think like, it's always like this. Right? It's always like this. I'm always alone and God doesn't love me. And the beauty of the journal is you open it and you realize, oh, that's right. It's not always like this.
Right.
And you can reject the lie of the enemy right away, that it's not always like this, that there are times when the Lord makes me feel so loved, and that every moment he's always embracing me and attracting me to love him, and that he always calls me his beloved son, and he's always pleased with me. Journaling is very important. Or it's also very important to journal when you are in the desert, when you are in desolation, right? So say, for example, it's been a bad day. Everything that you touch breaks, right? It's like just the other day, it's like it's amazing how these things happen. I turn on the food, what do you call that? The sink?
Garbage disposal.
And it breaks. It broke, and I tried to fix it, and all of a sudden there was a hole and all this water coming out. And then I go to the bathroom, I turn on the faucet, and I could hear the water coming right underneath the sink. It's like this all happens in one day, right? And I don't know what's going on. I, I wrote it right away. It's like, everything that I touch today seems like it's breaking, right? Lord, guard my heart. Protect my heart. Anoint my body. Fill it with your love and your mercy. Right? I wrote that prayer. And so that when that happens again, and everything seems like wrong, I can go right back there and says, that has happened before. Maybe I should pray that same prayer, right? And then all of a sudden, this outpouring love from the Father just comes to you. Then we realize that there's a temptation there. There's a lie in there that says, see, everything that you touch just breaks. Might as well just don't do anything.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's an invitation to prayer too. Don't do anything. Just stay there with the Father, with His love, right? And then you've abandoned the temptation and turned your gaze to the Father who can fix everything for us.
Beautiful. I love it. And thank you for clarifying desolation and the dark night of the soul. Clearly different different stages
exactly.
of your spiritual
right.
life. And right. we're just kind of talking how to get closer and deeper to God. Mm. So we'll stay on the consolation desolation path. Right. All righty. I'm Kendra Von Esch, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation one way or the other.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
You heard him. If you're liking this programming, please donate. This is Kendra Von Esch. I'm sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. I'm here with Father Caliente. He is my personal spiritual director for those who have just joined in. And it's a great time to join in because we are going to slide into home plate talking about the Holy Spirit. Why don't you continue on with the consolation and we'll get into the beauty of God within us.
Right. So as I said before, consolation is always an invitation from the Holy Spirit, right? To touch our hearts, to touch our lives, and an invitation from the Father to fill us with his love, with His mercy, with His healing. So the Holy Spirit part is very important because, as you know, the Holy Spirit is the very life of every single one of us.
Amen.
Right? Without the Holy Spirit, there's simply no life, you know? So that's why a lot of times the person of the Holy Spirit is neglected, right? The thing is, we always have the idea of what a father is, right? So we don't have a problem with the Father being a person. We always have an idea of who Jesus Christ is because historically, we have the evidence for it, right? We have so many evidence for Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you know. But the Old Testament prophecies leads us to Jesus Christ, right? The whole New Testament is all about who Jesus Christ is and the Paschal mystery, what he has done for us. The poor Holy Spirit, right? Like, it's always this little bird coming down, you know. We were in a pilgrimage last year in the Holy Land, and of course we were at the Jordan River, ready to renew our baptismal consecration. And here comes this pigeon. It's like, oh, everyone is so happy to see this pigeon because what happened in the Bible, right? When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened, the voice of the Father was heard, and there was the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, right? This bird coming down to Jesus. So seeing this pigeon, it's like being there in the Jordan with Jesus at his baptism. But there lies a problem. The only thing that reminds us of the Holy Spirit is a bird.
A bird, right. And I didn't even know that was representing the Holy Spirit when I first came into the church. So right. Some of us don't even know that.
Exactly. And so because of that, we always neglect this relationship with this person, with the third person of the Holy Trinity, which is the very love of the Father and the Son,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the Holy Spirit. So with that, it's like, okay, I'll talk to the Father, I'll talk to the Son. The Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do with. Without realizing that every breath
right.
that we take, right? In the Old Testament, they call the Holy Spirit the Ruach Adonai, the breath of God, right? I love that expression. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. That every time I breathe in, I'm breathing in the very life of God for me, right? And that's how close God is to us, and that's how close the Holy Spirit is to us, right? That every time we inhale, we're inhaling him, right? Right? And simply to concentrate on my breathing, you know, they always advise people who are new in speaking, you know, just concentrate on your breathing. It's even better for us as Christians, right?
Right.
When we concentrate on our breathing, you just say, come, Holy Spirit, right? And then you breathe, and then the Spirit of God, the very air that you breathe, the Spirit of God comes into your own body and energizes your lungs and speak boldly for Jesus, right?
So amen.
That's the Holy Spirit, right? The last time you were here, you've spoken about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right?
Correct.
And the very gifts of the Holy Spirit themselves, you know, these are gifts meant just for every single human being that exists, right? Knowledge, wisdom, and counsel, and fortitude, and the will, and fear of the Lord. And every single one of them strengthens us to deepen our relationship with God so that we can achieve that goal of Holy Communion. So I'd say, if you don't know how to this is the beauty about the church now, right? We have the charismatic movement. They really, really have strengthened the devotion to the Holy Spirit in the church. These are people who are in love and empowered by the very Holy Spirit of God. But I dare say the Holy Spirit is a spirit that strengthens every single baptized person, because when we were baptized, we received the Holy Spirit. When we were confirmed, we received the fullness of the grace and the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Every single Catholic baptized and confirmed is charismatic by that reason, right?
I love it,
so
yes.
So all we really need to do is open our hearts and unlock the door. Unlock the door and say, Holy Spirit, work with me. Work in me.
Transform me. Right.
He's right there. When you breathe in, we're breathing in the Holy Spirit of God, the love between the Father and the Son. Or, you know, the reason that we live is because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have to be aware of this great reality in life, that when you feel like you're depressed and everything else is going wrong and you exhale, the next time you inhale, that's the very breath of God in you.
I love it.
Despite the darkness, you still have the very love of the Father and the Son, and there's always hope for every single one of us.
Amen. So you mentioned a pilgrimage, and I want you to also talk a little bit about your confraternity as well before we wrap up here. Oh, yeah. I just want to say, if any of you out in the listening audience enjoyed this exchange with me and my personal spiritual director, we are going on a pilgrimage together, and we would love you to join us. It will be February 13th through the 22nd of 2020, and we will be going to Italy. Right. Stay tuned. You can go to kendravonesh.com shortly in the next few days, also on Facebook or on St. Rita's Rockford Parish. We'll share some information. So tell me a little bit about your confraternity and some other things that you would like the world to know.
Well, we don't have a lot of time, but the Confraternity of Jesus, Our Merciful Priest, is actually it's a spiritual confraternity of priests. It's a response from the Lord's invitation for us priests to deepen our relationship with Him and to be firm in our identity as priests of Jesus Christ. It's an invitation that I received more than a year and a half now. We have about 30 priests who have responded to this invitation. But also it's an invitation to renewal of priesthood. We've been hearing a lot of dark stories about priesthood in the last, you know, decades, but especially in our time right now. But it is to realize that amidst all these, amidst the sins and scandals that priests have committed, there's still that continuous invitation of our Lord to sanctify His people through His priests. But first, before that happens, it's the Lord's invitation of friendship to His priests first, and that the confraternity is really a response to this invitation of our Lord to deepen our relationship to Him as His priests and as His sons. So we have a website.
Perfect.
Mercifulpriest.org, www.mercifulpriest.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us, Father Caliente. It's been more than spiritual for me. Thank you so much for joining everyone out there in the radio land. I'm Kendra Von Esch, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say? Makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The wind What's that you say?